Welcome to the Property Beat, where real estate is part of your life. The coffee is hot, the conversation lively, and we're talking real estate. I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, with our cast of real estate characters that includes you, our listeners. So put in those earpieces and slow down the treadmill, or pour that fresh cup of joe and pull up a chair. And now, on with the show. And welcome to the Property Beat. I'm your host, Cliff Perotti. And today we are going to have an interesting show. We are going to talk about the concept of wholesaling. So if you are wondering what is wholesaling, we're going to talk about it. It's the process of buying low and then turning around and flipping a property without doing anything to it for a profit. And this has come under scrutiny in a couple of different marketplaces, and it's a question of whether it's something good for the public or bad. So we're going to cover what it is. We're going to talk about the impact a little bit to sellers and some of the marketplaces. So I have a feeling that some of you out there have done wholesaling, or you're thinking about it, or you've had it done unto you. And so if you have any of those, or you have questions about wholesaling tonight, then give us a call at 773-763-9278. Again, that's 773-763-9278. And Paul will be waiting for your call. How you doing tonight, Paul?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
You know, I'm not used to the darkness that happens so early now.
Yeah, it takes some adjustment for me, too. I'm in a studio all day, though, so I have no idea if it's even, you know, sunset or you know, where we're at, you know, in terms of sunrise or sunset.
Yeah, even the kids are noticing, you know, they're going, wow, here's the funny thing is, it's actually working to my favor in some areas because the kids go, oh, it's dark. It must be time for bed. I'm going, yes, it is.
Yeah, teeth are brushed and they're in bed on time. What is this?
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Well, Paul, I think we're going to have a lot of activity on this subject because it's a hot one. So get ready. So, folks, again, we're going to be talking about wholesaling. What is it? Is it a good thing? What's the impact? We're going to talk about how do you do it? Just an overview. It's not a major lesson, but I think you're going to have some questions. And if you do, call in 773-763-9278. We're going to cover that subject after our news, which we are going to cover right after this break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Cliff Perotti, host of The Property Beat. For over 37 years, my team and I have been helping people buy, sell, or lease real estate throughout the United States and abroad. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, the Perotti Group is here to help. We represent clients in residential, multifamily, or commercial properties. And if you're looking for property management services, we've got you covered with our property management division. If you'd like to learn more about how the power of my team can help you achieve your real estate goal, email me directly at Cliff, that's C-L-I-F-F, at thepropertybeat.org. Thanks for listening to The Property Beat. Illinois Managing Broker's License number 47101-3604. California Broker's License 00874027.
Wow. All right. It's time for some real estate news. Well, you know, we all know that things are selling quickly out there. Nationwide, average of 42% of homes have sold in 2 weeks or less. That is absolutely amazing. That's according to a study that was done by Lombardo Homes and based on a survey of home buyers and sales data from Redfin. You know, they also came out and said out of that same study that Seattle now ranks as the most competitive market in the nation, with 71% of homes selling in under 2 weeks. 71%. That's crazy. Then after Seattle and this study came Omaha, Nebraska, with 67% of its homes selling under 2 weeks, followed by Lexington, Kentucky, with 67%. 65%, Denver, Colorado with 65%, and Indianapolis at 65%. Chicago was further down the list, as it were. But when it's said and done, if you're wondering whether it's a hot market, that's going to answer that question for you. All right. Next up on our news scan is an interesting story that's coming out of Philadelphia. So as if Philadelphia has not been in the news enough lately. So the Philadelphia City Council unanimously passed legislation on Thursday, cracking down on quick moving real estate intermediaries known as wholesalers. Just the subject for our show today. So they saw that it was they felt it was an exploitation by underinforming property owners in the neighborhood when their land values were going up so quickly. And under this law, the speculators who secure real estate for themselves with the idea of quick profits and a turnaround are going to have to get licensed as a wholesaler. So, and what they're really trying to do is through the licensed activity, hold them accountable for making false promises to sellers or to stop them from providing misleading information about the value of their properties. A spokesperson for the National Association of Realtors said they were unaware of any other state or city in the country that had moved to regulate wholesalers in any way. You might hang on to your hat on that one because that may be coming our way. So we're going to talk about wholesaling, but that story just was like so timely. One of the aspects of this law says that at least 3 days before concluding the purchase, the licensed wholesalers must also present the sellers with a disclosure explaining how they might independently research the property's value and informing them of their option to hire a lawyer or state-accredited real estate agent to help them with the transaction. That's actually kind of interesting. So, but I will say this, one of the good things that comes out of this law was that it establishes a do not solicit list for property owners who have expressed a desire to stop being solicited to sell or rent their properties. Wow. So we're going to come back to that in terms of talking about wholesaling, but that's our second news story. And our last one has been kind of under the covers a little bit. It's kind of a ho-hum story, but it actually has a pretty strong impact. On this week, on Thursday, the Department of Justice announced that it was filing a lawsuit against the National Association of Realtors for violations of antitrust laws, including commission arrangements and consumer disclosure requirements. The NAR's got these policies, it's saying, and practices that do not serve the public well. And one of the things they mentioned was that the multiple listing services, because of some of the ways they function, they hide the commissions that buyers' agents are being paid, which they do not think should be done. The consumer should see that. There's a question because lockboxes are only allowed to be used on properties by brokers. So if I'm as a broker, if I have a lockbox on a property, I'm supposed to only give that access to another realtor. We don't see that too much here in our marketplace because we use instead of using what we call the central lockbox, which is the one that actually encrypts and is only accessible by realtors and logs in who went and saw the house. A lot of the marketplaces around Chicago use simply those dumb lock boxes you can buy at Home Depot where it's just four numbers and here, go in and look at the house anytime you want. So furtherwise, it's prohibiting, they're saying that the NAR, the National Association of Realtors, has through their MLS services fail to disclose the commission that's being paid to the buyer, and if the buyer's agent is even making a commission, it allows buyer brokers to misrepresent to buyers that a buyer broker services are free, right? How many times have you heard an agent saying, hey, I don't cost you anything as a buyer to work with me because I'm paid by the seller? And this is kind of a weird one, but I've heard it over the years many times. It enables buyer brokers. Right now, MLS systems allow buyer brokers to filter out properties that have lower levels of buyer broker commissions being offered. So we won't mention what really big website just got caught with this kind of nonsense, but this would happen where your agent, as your buyer's agent, says, oh, I don't want to show them properties where the commission is only X percent. And so then they filter those out before they send them to you as a list of properties, which is clearly not in your interest as a home buyer. And then I mentioned the lock boxes. So because of some of these policies, they have filed this antitrust claim. And of course, the NAR says, hey, we're working on these things. The NAR has been sued for antitrust stuff so many times over the years, and they keep modifying their strategies. But at the end of the day, you got to wonder what's good for the consumer. And I think that's where the Department of Justice is coming from. All right. We are going to come back in a second right after this with our question of the week. So get your dialing fingers ready. Our question of the week is, I'll explain it after this. We'll be right back.
Looking to retire on that island retreat? Real estate investing may be your ticket on that boat. Hi, this is Cliff Perotti, host of The Property Beat. I'd like to invite you aboard the Property Beat Investor Club for real estate investors and wannabe real estate investors. It doesn't cost anything to join, but members receive our monthly investor update, tips and tricks for maximizing your real estate investments, information about our real estate educational programs, as well as first crack at our real estate investment opportunities. Our investor club meets monthly, and given the times, these meetings are currently held virtually. In each meeting, we cover an important aspect on some topic in real estate. To join our free investors club, simply Google the Property Beat Investor Club, then follow the link to meetup.com where you'll find our homepage. It's that simple. With over 500 members in the group, you're sure to learn something new or find a new opportunity that's right for you.
All right, welcome back to the Property Beat, where it's time once again for our question of the week. Now, this isn't about making it a difficult question. It's more about the fun of having you call in. So here's the way it works. I'm about to ask a question. If you know the answer, be the first caller into the show with the answer, the correct answer, and you will win a Property Beat coffee mug, which I am holding right now in my hand. And coffee is better in a Property Beat coffee mug. And you'll also win a $500 gift certificate for our upcoming training and online education programs that are going to be released after the first of the year. Super excited about that stuff. So first of all, let me give you the phone number to call in. That number would be 773-763-9278. Let me give you the question, and then I'll give that number again. It's a simple question. I need you to tell me, what is a buyer's market? What is a buyer's market? Last week, we asked, what is a seller's market? And this week, I'm asking, what is a buyer's market? So if you think you know the answer, be the first person to call in at 773-763-9278. Again, 773-763-9278. See if you can win a Property Beat mug. I know somebody's out there. Last time we had, five callers on that thing? So hopefully you will know what it means. So if you think you know what is a buyer's market, give us a call, 773-763-9278. So while we wait for someone to call in on this, I got to tell you, let's start with understanding what is exactly wholesaling and how is it defined. So wholesaling is not the same as buy, fixing, and flipping. When you buy, fix, and flip, you are buying a piece of real estate and then you are doing something to that real estate, you know, improving it in some way, fixing it up, and then you're selling it. So your labor of doing the improvements and your cost of doing the improvements is how you make your money on a buy, fix, and flip. But in the case of a wholesaling, what you're doing is you are simply buying the property, getting it under contract so that you have the right to purchase it. And you then are, oh, I'm going to tell you in a second. It looks like we've got Tom from Chicago thinks you know the answer to our what is a buyer's market. Tom, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. Have the answer to the question, I think you were asking about a buyer's market.
Yeah, and okay. Give it a
my
shot.
My understanding on a buyer's market is that there is a glut of houses or properties available so that the buyer has an advantage on price because of the quantity of availability of properties. That's putting it simply. There might be more, yeah. But that's my
Do you think we're in a buyer's market or a seller's market right now?
Well, based on what you said, it seems to be a buyer's market because of the availability of properties.
Yeah, no, it's a seller's market right now. Yeah, but it's a seller's market right now. But you were correct, because what's happened on a seller's market is there's fewer properties and lots of buyers. Right?
Okay, right.
So, because if you have lots of properties and fewer buyers, that means the buyers have the buying power, because sellers go, oh, well, wait, buy ours.
Yeah,
so you got it right. Nah, okay. You did it. You got it right. So, great. Are you a first-time listener, Tom?
Actually, I heard the show a few times before because, I'm always on Progressive Talk. So.
Ah, okay. Great. Well, thanks for tuning in. Stay on the line, sure. And Paul's going to get your information, and then we will reach out to you. I'll reach out to you by email, most likely, or phone, and then we'll get your mailing address and get you that coffee mug, and you'll be sipping out of your victory. All right. Hang on, Tom.
I do have a property that's on hold right now, so I'm
wait, what? What do you mean? What do you mean by that? Tell us.
Oh, no. It's partially boarded up, and I'm just waiting for the COVID to go by, and I have it being maintained. But, it's actually in Brighton Park, but I'm waiting for a little while, and then I'll figure things out in the spring. So.
Oh, now this is interesting. Okay. So if you don't mind, if you wouldn't mind answering a couple of questions, because this is good.
Sure.
So you know that right now, if you put it on the marketplace, you've got a lot of demand and a little competition.
Right.
But you're thinking that you might want to wait until the spring because COVID might change the impact of that. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah. And a couple of things. Also, the fact that I have to organize. There are things stored there and such. And it's just, it's just a little too much for me to step into right now.
So what you're saying is it's a pain in the butt to do it right now.
Thank you.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm a highly trained professional. I can narrow this crap down.
Yeah.
All right, Tom. Well, hang on the line. Give your information to Paul, and we'll get you that property beat mug. Congratulations.
That'd be great. Thank you. I'll hang on.
All right. So we're talking about what is wholesaling. So we've said you don't buy fix and flip. You simply buy it. And let's just talk about the purest definition. Where you actually buy the property and then you turn around and put it right back on the marketplace for more money. So in an example, let's say that you buy something for $50,000 and you put it on the marketplace for $100,000 the next day. That would be wholesaling. Now, you could also do it in the most common, more sophisticated way that we're seeing is when you write an offer and you tie the property up, but your offer is written so that it's in, for example, if I was writing an offer to wholesale, I would write it as Cliff Parati and or assigns or assignees, meaning that I would have the right to assign my contract to a third party before we actually close on the deal. So in those cases, I might put my offer in for $50,000 and the seller accepts it. And before we close, I put it on the marketplace immediately for $100,000. So there's $50,000 there. And I know I'm going to sell this thing quickly because the market is moving. And so I get a buyer who says, yeah, I'll pay the $100,000. And the way we can do it is we can either double escrow, meaning that we close simultaneously on both the purchase and the sale that I'm doing, Or I can say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have you buy it. You're going to buy my position out for $50,000, and then you're going to buy it for $50,000. It's less commonly done that way right now because most buyers don't have $50,000 sitting in their pocket for a $100,000 house. So it's more common that what would happen is I would get a contract with you, the buyer, to buy this place. Well, look at Siri's talking at me. I would get in contract with you as my buyer to buy it for $100,000, but I've already got it under contract for only $50,000. And so you go through and do a normal purchase. I go through and I just wait for you to get ready to close. And then we close on the same day. Typically you have to use the same title company. Otherwise there can be some delays. So that's what wholesaling is, in its purest sense. Now, if you have questions about any of this, please, 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 or you have stories that you'd like to share, both good or bad, give us a call at 773-763-9278. Again, 773-763-9278. So now we understand it. Now, if you have driven down the street and you've seen those signs that say, "We buy houses," or "We buy houses for all cash," those folks are wholesalers. They're going to offer you less than what the market value is for your home, and they're going to close quickly with cash, or they're going to do this double escrowing and remarket the property simultaneously. But now, is that good or is that a bad thing? What do you think? Love to hear your opinion. 773-763-9278. So that's what it is. We know. So how do you make money doing this? If you are the wholesaler, you're making, well, generally these offers come in somewhere between 10 to 20% less than what the real market value of the property is. So in the case of our $100,000 property, if that's the real market value, the wholesaler might offer between $20,000 and $40,000 less in order to just quickly flip it. So that's how they make their money. Then now this is not long-term capital gain. This is all short-term cap. This is how they make their living. This is their job. So if they make, and they're not making those kinds of spreads typically. They are generally in the Chicago marketplace. I'd say they're making $10,000 to $20,000 on a wholesaling deal, depending upon the price range of the properties they're dealing with. And what do you think about that? Is that fair? Did they do the right thing for the seller or for the buyer? We'll talk about it some more when we come back right after this quick message. We'll be back.
If you're looking for a winning team to help you buy a quality real estate investment, it's important to get the assistance of a solid real estate broker with experience in analyzing and understanding the ins and outs of real estate investing. Hi, this is Cliff Perotti, host of The Property Beat and designated managing broker of The Perotti Group, an independent real estate team here in the Chicagoland area. With over 37 years' experience guiding real estate investors from first-time buyers to international investors, I'd like to help you find the right property for your situation. My team and I are available to help you whether you're buying a starter home, luxury residence, or a multifamily investment. We've got you covered. If you'd like to discuss your real estate situation, you can email me directly at cliff@thepropertybeat.org. I look forward to speaking with you about your real estate plans. Illinois Managing Broker's License 4710136.04. California Broker's License 0087-4027.
All right, welcome back, where we are talking about wholesaling. Now, I've explained it. I've explained how a wholesaler makes their money. How do you find these properties? You know, if like, oh gosh, I want to go do that. I want to make money doing this. Well, You literally are driving areas. You are driving areas and you're looking for properties that are vacant, they're boarded up, they're poorly maintained. There's some clue that nothing's been going on with that property for quite a while. And you then have to find the owner's information, which is public record. And then you can either try to find their phone numbers or mail them and reach out or show up on their doorstep if you choose. Regardless, that's how you do it. Now, there is a service and an app called Deal Machine. Now, this is what a lot of professionals are now using. Deal Machine is a very sophisticated app that's pretty expensive. I think I'm going to say it's like $200 a month. And what it does is you drive down the street and you see a property and you think, oh, that could be that. I wonder what's going on with that. And you point the your phone at that property. It then registers. It takes a picture and registers that address. Then instantaneously, it tells you who the owner is. And if they have a mailing address that's available, the app will immediately send them an email from you saying, I want to buy your house. I saw your property. I want to buy it. And then the owner will get a postcard in the mail, and then they can call you and say, gosh, I want to do that. Now, we use that app for finding properties that are, you know, that for potential listings that are, where sellers may need some help, but we can't wholesale them. And I'll tell you why. So members of the National Association of Realtors have a code of ethics requirement that they must give a property owner at the time of listing, they must give them a comparative market analysis, an actual estimate of value for the property. Well, if I, you know, reach out to you and I say, hey, I want to buy your house. And then I say, oh, by the way, your house is worth $100,000, but I only want to give you $50,000. You're going to think I'm an idiot. So now bear in mind, there are sellers that do that. There are sellers that say, you know what? I'm fine with that. Just, I don't want to have to think about it. I just want to get rid of it. Just take it as it is and move on. Good luck. If you go make a bunch of money on it, good for you, but I don't have to deal with it anymore. We've seen this with sellers that have had property they haven't touched in years where they just don't want to deal with it, or they have potential code violations on the property where they just don't want to have to deal with it, or they've got a bunch of we've seen it where they've had just tons and tons of personal belongings in these properties and they just don't want to go through it. They just want somebody to take it, empty it, deal with it. Good luck. And they know they're going to get their money out, even though it's not necessarily the full market value. Now, in some states, in California in particular, if a realtor was to buy a property and then turn around and resell it, if the agent did not provide them with an estimate of market value as to what the property was worth, that sale can be undone. There's also a huge fine associated with that, and they could also lose their license for not representing the client. So now that's a clue that most of your wholesalers are not licensed real estate brokers. They're just guys, gals out there. This is how they want to make their living. Now, if they're really successful at it over a long term, you're going to see there's a couple of companies that you see advertised on some of the local networks here on television that'll talk or on radio that will say, hey, we buy your house. There's no commissions. There's no we buy it as is. We'll take care of everything. We'll just buy your house. And we've been doing it for a long time. Well, those are wholesalers. They're not doing it just because they love your house. They're doing it because they know that they're going to offer you less. They're going to then go ahead and put it right back on the marketplace after they've bought it from you. Now, in some cases, they go ahead and do some improvements to it, but not always. If you have a comment or some input on this subject, I would love to hear from you. Come get in the conversation, 773-763-9278. Again, that's 773-763-9278. This is kind of a controversial topic. And the reason I say that is, well, here's the question. Is it in the seller's interest to do this? Now, I've given you some reasons why it might be. because they don't want to deal with it, because it just gets it done. Maybe they have a bad relationship with the property, or they've held it, or they inherited it, or they just want to get out of it and move on. And this is simple, and it causes them to just be able to get out. So that could be a benefit to them. But I'm more concerned about the situation where it's an elderly homeowner. You know, you've got your 80-year-old grandma who's sitting in her house, and she doesn't know what to do with it. She's having a hard time keeping up with it. And so she decides, she gets a phone call from somebody who says, hey, I want to buy your house. And she's going, you do? And the next thing you know, she's selling her house to one of these wholesalers who is definitely not giving her full market value. And then she turns around, she gets what she's getting, and she moves on. And the only person that got, she got really shortchanged in that process because she might have left some serious money laying on the table. So I get concerned about that a little bit. I have seen this happen with elderly people. In some states, this would be considered a taking advantage of a senior citizen, and there's some laws that can stop that from happening. But by the time they figure it out and they go through the sale and they move on, the person's, it's too late. They've lost their house, right? They have to suddenly move out. Maybe they thought they were going to stay longer. So you just got to be careful. And you as a buyer, if you're buying a property that is being wholesaled, look at the, you know, when you look at your title report when you're in escrow or when you're under contract. And in this state, we would have attorneys doing that, right? You can say to the attorney, hey, I want to make sure that the seller in my contract is in fact the owner on title right now. And if it's not, that's a clue that the property is being wholesaled to you. So they're paying less, they're making some kind of a spread, and they're just getting rid of it, moving on. So what do you think about that? Is that good? Is it bad? Have you had anyone in your family circle do one of these wholesales, either on the buy side or on the sell side? Give us a call. Let us know. 773-763-9278. Again, 773-763-9278. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Are you facing management challenges with your properties? You're not alone. These are challenging times. The Parati Group's Property Management Division can help. Hi, this is Cliff Parati, host of The Property Beat and designated managing broker of The Parati Group. We have over 37 years of management experience, including through some of the most difficult times. If you're looking for property management assistance, email me directly at cliff@thepropertybeat.org. The solution to your management problem is only an email away. Illinois Managing Broker's License Number 47101-3604. California Broker License 00874027. Welcome back to The Property Beat. I'm your host, Cliff Parati, and we're talking about wholesaling houses or properties. Is it a good thing? What do you think? Is it a bad thing? What do you think? Give us a call, 773-763-9278. Would love to hear your opinion. So I can see, you know, I get it. Now, I will say that as we have reached out to owners at times over the years, I've come across owners who have said, don't give me the price. When we go and we look at a house, let's say, and it's filled with a bunch of stuff and it's got broken windows and it's just been derelict. And maybe because they inherited it and mom didn't or dad didn't take care of it in their last years, or it's got an illegal unit with code violations, whatever the reason may be. And they've said, just give me the number to just get rid of this really fast. I know it may not be the most, but what would I have to, what can I get if I just say I will sell it tomorrow? What's that number? And then I would say to them, well, you know, if it's worth, let's just, and you keep with our simple example, if it's worth $100,000, if you simply clean it up, you know, maybe we'll help you finance your cleaning up if you don't have the money and just get it cleaned out where there's no crap in it. And it's clean, broom swept, and the windows aren't broken. And you know, just put a little bit of love and TLC into it. And some real estate companies do fund little loans for that to help you so that you don't have to discount your property. But I've had people say, I don't care. I don't want to do it. You're missing the point. I just want to get the heck out of it. What's it going to be? Well, then I'm going to give them a number. And they often have said, I've had people go, wow, that's low. But if it means I'm out of it within the month, I'm good. Let's do it. And so then there you go. Now, as a real estate broker, I don't buy those. I tend to put them on the marketplace because I don't want to be later told, oh, you know, you didn't really tell me the fair market value and you were taking advantage of me because you know what you're doing and I don't. And so, you know, by putting it on, now, if you put it on the marketplace, let's say that we've used this example of $100,000 value, but they're willing to sell it for 50 grand. And you put it on the marketplace for 50 grand or 60 grand so they can cover their commissions and closing costs, whatever the number is. And they get a many, 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 many offers, multiple offers, two or three or four. What often happens with that? Well, if you've ever been in multiple offer situations, you know that oftentimes the price goes up. They get more than what they were asking for, because their price was so low that they attracted everybody and their mother. So they end up getting more than what they had thought of. And they get cash buyers. They get quick closes. They get no inspections. They get all of those things. But they get a little bit more than what they might have gotten had they just wholesaled the property out. So to that end, I think it's pretty good. I hate to see people discount and sell their stuff. Just because I think that money is too hard to make and it takes a lot of effort. But I'm also the first person to recognize there's two types of issues in real estate in our business, and that is this. There's property problems and there's people problems. And the property problems, such as a property needs to be fixed up, it's got code violations, that back staircase has fallen off, the kitchens need to be upgraded, whatever. Those are property problems, and those are very definable. But it's on the people side of the formula where oftentimes opportunity shows up, where people problems could be such that somebody just needs to get the heck out, or they've got to sell it with certain conditions, like I need to sell this, but mom needs 90 days after the closing to be able to get out. She's going to take a long time to get out. So these people problems oftentimes result in people selling properties for less. Well, there's the perfect target for a wholesaler. An aging person, a person who has been relocated in their work and they just need to get out. A person who has lost their job in COVID and they're being threatened with foreclosure and they just need to get out. So you're going to see, I think, a continuing market for wholesalers, but I think it's going to always be in the arena of people problems. If you've heard of such stories, please give us a call and share it. 773-763-9278. Again, that's 773-763-9278. Paul's waiting for your exciting phone call. Yeah, I want to hear. Do you think it's a good idea? I will tell you that there's some marketplaces, like you saw Philadelphia, I talked to you about that a little bit, where Philadelphia has put a law in place to try to stem this. In the city of San Francisco, what they have done is they have penalized building buyers when they've come into a marketplace and then they have evicted buyers or paid them to leave so that then the building is worth more because of the rent control restrictions. There's a chart that says, oh, you got to pay a $500,000 penalty if you sell within 1 year, $400,000 if within 2 years, 3 years, and it drops until 5 years. If you've held a property for 5 years, then you don't have any penalty. But if you haven't, then there's a whopping penalty for you. And in some cases, buyers are willing to do that because they make so much money in that marketplace. But in other cases, it really kills that kind of short-term thinking. So it's something to really digest. I got to tell you, I'm 50-50 on it. I've had clients come to me, consulting clients, and say, hey, I want help wholesaling. I will teach them how to do it. I will help them sell the property, but I can't I get this. I can't go and represent a seller that's being taken advantage of. And so I can help the buyer find properties and show them how to do it and get them all locked in and that kind of stuff. But if a seller calls me and asks for advice in these kinds of a deal, it's like, I don't know. That's definitely not something that I feel comfortable with. So if you're a wholesaler, I want to hear it. Call us, give us a call, jump in. Tell us why it's a good deal. 773-763-9278. Again, 773-763-9278. I'm not trying to beat up on wholesalers because I think there's a need for them. I think there's a time and a place for them. I just think that that also means that people do sometimes get taken advantage of because they don't understand their rights or maybe what their options are. And I think that's a better way of putting it. They don't really understand their options. Let's see here. It looks like we've got Kathy from Illinois has thoughts on wholesaling. Kathy, why don't you join in the call? Hello.
Hi.
What do you think?
I'm not a real estate agent, but I've been in this in the Chicago area. I've helped rehab houses in the long run, and I've also worked for the county, Cook and Kane County.
Right.
In the long run, I don't think it's a good idea to do wholesale, because if you turn around and you're one of those neighbors to a house that was wholesale, and you and try to sell your house later, the property value comp is going to be kind of compared to what's in your neighborhood, similar. So if your competition sold at a wholesale price, good luck in selling your house for a higher price.
Yeah, it would have to
be.
Yeah, the only way that that would be avoided is if the wholesaler double escrowed the property, meaning they sold it before it actually closed. Because if it closes, at, in the example I've been giving, if it closes at 50 grand, yeah, everybody's value in that neighborhood just got nailed in terms of selling. So. Yeah. Now, have you had any neighbors wholesale any of their houses in your neighborhood?
Not specifically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just know from experience that working on rehabbing houses with my friend that when you're trying, you might buy something at a higher price. It's just the opposite. And you find that all your neighbors have, you know, sold their houses for cheap because they've lived there for 30 years. Kind of
right.
In a similar situation, it's all about the comps. And when you go to, you rehab a house then and try to sell it, you're comparing. That's the only issue I see. Wholesale, if they end up, you know, flipping it and in the wholesale and selling it to someone, like you said, that it's more of a competitive price, then that's not so bad. But I think the risk, and like with a bad economy and everything, is the foreclosures, wholesale, and desperate, you know, sellers undercut their properties just to unload them. You know,
and that's historically where it happens. Yeah.
Right.
Historically, wholesalers hit lower end marketplaces. So it's usually the people that are, the day worker, so to speak, the person who's just trying to get by and survive that, or someone who's been there for a very long time and just can't keep the property up. But good. Thanks, Kathy. I appreciate the input. Thanks for calling.
All right. Have a good evening. All right.
You too.
Bye-bye.
We've got Sal from McKinley Park on the line. Sal, welcome to the show.
Hello. My question for you is this. Earlier this year, we heard that during an economic downturn, people were going to be, you know, having a hard time holding on to their properties and might have to sell before they're foreclosed on. And then there was talk of big money swooping into the market and, you know, buying up all kinds of properties. And that affects the amount of housing stock that's available for people who are not big money. Maybe you could speak to that and I don't understand these things myself. I think a lot of people don't. So maybe you could tell what you know about such situations, and can anything be done to address them? That's it.
Well,
I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Great. Thanks. Thanks, Sal. So it's a really good point, because we have lived through a really significant downturn where we learned a lot about how foreclosure markets happen. How do companies, large REITs, come in and buy massive quantities of foreclosed properties, and then in some cases literally bury them, literally tear the houses down to help support their other houses that might be down the street. We've seen buyers. One of the biggest concerns that I have into looking into next year and really the year after is, are we going to see an uptick in buyers who literally have no job right now? Are we going to see them lose their house? Or is the government going to come in and actually mandate that mortgage companies have to do some kind of mitigation arrangement? I think you're going to see that. I think that you're going to see the government saying, nah, you can't just take all these people's jobs. These people, I mean, come on, look at the amount of people we're losing physically. When they come down and they just closed Illinois again, right? So how do you go to work? How are you supposed to pay your bills? And I think you're going to see some protections coming into play that will help people. I do not believe that you are going to see a downturn in the marketplace in 2021. I think the interest rates are still crazy. I do think that you will see a vaccine that's going to show up, and I think that's going to keep people motivated and moving forward. But right now, I don't see that we're going to have these massive buying of foreclosed properties. We are seeing a lot of people that are behind in their mortgages right now, and I'm watching that stat as we go into the marketplace. It's funny. I was telling my fiance that I am a counter-cyclical agent, meaning that I tend to do better when a marketplace is not just screaming, where everybody and their mother can just put a sign on the ground. And the reason I do better in a marketplace like that is it takes more expertise. You're dealing with people problems, more challenging problems, things that you have to help work out, loan deals with the mortgage. It just requires more sophistication, and I thrive in that because I just love that stuff. So I hope that answers your question. We have Dimitri from Chicago. Uh-oh, neighbors from hell. Dimitri, tell us more.
No, if you have a problematic neighbor who's always complaining about this and that and the other about the property, are you obligated to tell the potential buyer about that, or the real estate agent?
Okay, so Dimitri, it depends on what state you're in. If you were in most of the Western United States, I'm just giving you an example. In the most of the Western United States, in the real estate transfer disclosure statement that has to be done by a seller, it asks, are there any nuisances in the neighborhoods? But in Illinois specific, Illinois has very strongly come down on the side of the seller's rights, saying that, look, only thing you have to disclose is stuff that you know about the property. It's the buyer's problem to go figure out whether the neighborhood sucks or not, or whether the guy next to you is running a meth house. That's the buyer's beware part of it. And you as a seller only have to disclose those things that are pertaining to the physical structure of your property. Now, this is where you could end up in a conversation with an attorney. If a neighbor has literally shot bullets over your fence, you might want to talk to your attorney about that one. But bottom line, you only really have to disclose what's going on with the physical structure and the real estate. And it's a buyer beware kind of mentality. So does that help?
Mm-hmm.
Are you in a situation where you've got a question about whether you should disclose something or not?
Possibly. I might be selling a property I have. So is that something you could handle? Or
absolutely. You can reach out to me. In fact, why don't you stay on the line and Paul will get your number and information and I'll reach out to you on Monday. Okay.
Okay. That sounds good. Thank you very kindly.
All right. Thanks, man. I love that. These are good questions. These are really good questions. You just don't know. So it's, I hope this has been an informative subject for you. It's been one that I've wanted to do this show for a while on wholesaling because I've kind of watched it. I will say this. In all of the marketplaces that I've been in, on the West Coast, in Louisiana, in New Orleans, Portland, San Francisco, Southern California, I have never seen wholesaling as much of a market, as much of a marketplace as there is for wholesaling here in Chicago. And I am watching where it's really happening, and it's not in the median price range. It's in the lower price range. Sometimes you find a property or two that's in that kind of medium area where it's a couple of units or something, but a lot of it's in areas that are more challenged for us, which means that the person that's perhaps getting taken advantage of is the seller in those situations. And as Kathy mentioned, maybe their neighbors, because their neighbors are getting hit with lower sales prices in their neighborhood. So, well, that's going to take us to the end of our show, folks. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you for all of our callers. Congratulations to our property mug winner. And we'll be talking to you next week, and that's our Thanksgiving weekend show. So gobble, gobble. Have a great and safe Thanksgiving holiday. Hope you all enjoyed the show. Talk to you soon. Paul, take us out of here.
Well, that's a wrap for this week's show. Thanks for joining us here at the Property Beat, where real estate is part of your life. We hope you've enjoyed this week's show and encourage you to come back next week when we'll continue this real estate conversation with you, our listeners. If you're unable to listen to our shows live, you can grab our most recent episode on any of your favorite podcast locations. For now, I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, saying that's a wrap. See you next time on the Property Beat.